You good? Or you want one? All right. You want two? You want two? You're welcome. I got a couple more. Anybody else want one?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Goodness. You can go ahead and be finding your places in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 44 tonight. Isaiah chapter 44. How many days did it take Nehemiah and his people to build the wall? How many days did it take Nehemiah and the people to build the wall, to rebuild the wall? A, B, C, and D. Multiple choice. It's somewhere in between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21. That's (laughs) 26, 38, 92, or 52. I don't know. I made them up. I only know the answer. 26, 38, 92, or 52? Huh? 38. You know what? 26. Find your, if you turn to Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15, John, what does it say? You're almost there though, ain't you? Nehemiah chapter 6. In verse 15. Yes, ma'am. Fifty-two days. That's pretty quick. You know, the hand of God was upon that. Pastor woke up on Sunday morning and realizing it was an exceptionally beautiful day, an early spring day, and decided he just had to play golf. So, he told his associate pastor that he was feeling sick and convinced him to preach for him that day. As soon as the associate pastor left the room, the pastor headed out of town to the golf course, about 40 miles away. This way, he knew that he would not accidentally meet anyone from his church. Setting up on the first tee, he was alone. After all, it was Sunday morning and everyone else was in church. At about this time, St. Peter leaned over to the Lord while looking down from heaven and exclaimed, "You're not going to let him get away with this, are you?" The Lord sighed and said, "No, I guess not." Just then he hit the ball, and it shot straight towards the pin. Dropping just short of it, it rolled and fell into the hole. It was 435 yards, hole in one. St. Peter was astonished. He looked at the Lord and asked, "Why did you let him do that?" The Lord smiled and replied, "Who's he going to tell?" That's torture in itself, let me tell you. I'll give you one more. Everybody needs a good laugh in the middle of the week. An old preacher was dying. He sent for his banker and his lawyer. Both were church members to come to his house. When he arrived, they were ushered into his bedroom. And as they entered the room, the preacher held out his hands and motioned for them to sit on either side of the bed. The preacher grasped their hand, sighed contentedly, smiled, and stared at the ceiling. For a time, no one said anything. But the banker and the lawyer were touched and flattered that the preacher would ask them to be with him during his final moments. They were also puzzled. The preacher had never given them any indication that he were particularly liked either of them. They both remembered his many long, uncomfortable messages and sermons about greed, covetousness, and behavior that made them squirm in their seats. Finally, the banker said, "Preacher, why did you ask us to come?" The old preacher mustered up his strength and then said weakly, "Well, Jesus died between two thieves, and that's the way I want to go too." I did too. I laughed. If you find your places in Isaiah 44, the message tonight is titled Fire Danger High. Fire Danger High. We're going to read verses 3 through 6, if you will stand as we read the Word of God. Isaiah 44, verses 3 through 6. The Word of God says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon this thy seed, and my blessings upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water's course. One shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hands unto the Lord. And surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Father God, we love you, and we thank you for this precious time that we have to spend in your house. Lord, we come here with one purpose, I pray, and that's to worship you and to praise you and to hear from you, Lord. Lord, we have opened your word. We have prayed unto you. Father God, we ask that you would come down and dwell with us and help us and give us interpretation. For we don't need to hear from man. We need to hear from you, our God and our Creator. Father God, we pray if there's a lost one among the house tonight, that one would be saved. Be it the children in the back, and Miss Gail teaches, may they be attentive and listen and not cause trouble. If there's one of age back there, we pray for that one's salvation. Father God, just bless this time. Lord, and have your way and your will in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, may everything said and done be pleasing to you tonight. Hide your unworthy servant behind the cross. Lord, help me to preach. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. It's apparent if you look around tonight that we're in dire need of moisture outside. It has rained but one time since October that was measurable. And that was just a week ago, I think. Most fields and yards are already brown and starting to dry up. They are nigh unto death. We pass by the fire warning signs coming into towns. And the little arrow is pointing either to high or extreme fire danger. We currently now, if you were to check the weather report, have the weather warning out. It's a fire warning. Asking us not to burn anything or to light anything due to the lack of moisture. Everything's becoming dry and brittle. Traveling to up and down the highways, you see places where grass fires have been started along the highways. You see the blackness that was left. And it could be simply from a spark or some vehicle or somebody flicked a cigarette outside the window. But right now it's not taking very much and things are just starting to catch fire and burn. The area is very dry and in need of water. But you do see green in different places. You can drive through neighborhoods and some yards are actually pretty green. But then the neighbor's yard is brown. And you can drive down this road. You can travel to here to Lubbock or here to Albuquerque, as we did just the other day. And you can see brown and slightly green, but then you all of a sudden you see a clump of green here and there. And usually when you see a clump of green, you see a house because there's water there. Or you see a pond because there's water there. Or you see the river along. There's a stretch of trees. Because you can't have anything green unless there's water there. For the water brings the life to plants. We are in the beginning stages of a drought this year. And it's apparent. And the fire danger is high and getting higher. Churches across America are in a spiritual drought right now. We see less people getting saved. We see less people walking the aisles. Less people dedicating their lives to God, either to become missionaries, preachers, Sunday school teachers, wives of future pastors. It's not happening. Our churches are starting to dry up. Churches in Clovis are affected by the same drought as closest in churches in New York or churches in Las Vegas. We're all having the same issues across the world. We're all losing moisture. And how can you tell that the water has gone out of your churches? Well, like I said, less people are getting saved. Less people are dedicating their lives. Because with water from God, people get moved. People start to get on fire for God because the fullness of life comes into them. And that's what water does. Just like the living water from Christ. There are three things that I would like to speak about tonight. Number one, the dry harvest. Number two, the pump house. And number three, buckets. First of all, the dry harvest. John 4:35 says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already the harvest." Well, I grew up growing wheat. And I know Brother Carroll the other day said that he was taught there was a white line. I've looked at wheat for 20 years of my growing up, and I never seen no white line. All I seen was work. But the way that we checked our wheat was you went up and you picked some off, and you rubbed it between your fingers. If it was dry enough to be harvested, it would break up. It would crumble in your fingers. But if it still had moisture in it, it would leave a mark. Or would roll around. It wouldn't break up like it was supposed to. You know, that's what we did. So we'd go out to the field, and of course, as Brother Carroll said, if the wheat sat there too long, it would fall off. Because all the moisture was completely removed. And it had no life in it to hang on. So a breeze would knock it down. A storm would take it off. It wouldn't take much. So yes, when it come close to harvest time, you had to go out there every other day and check and see where it was at. Now, the first check, if it was extremely green, you could wait a couple more days. But then when it started getting closer, you was going out there every day. Because the sun would beat down upon it. The sun would suck out all the moisture. And you would soon have to go harvest that. But can I tell you something else that happens when the harvest is ready to be harvested? It's dry. And it's ready to burn. It doesn't take much for a wheat field to go up into flames. It doesn't take but a small spark in a field, and that field will ignite, and I can tell you in no time flat, it's gone. Because everything in it is dry, and you have a wind and it'll push it all the way to the fence line where the green stuff lies. It does not take much for the harvest field to burn. Just like it doesn't take much for the person that's lost. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be the morrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." But just like that wheat, when it gets closer to the harvest and the sun's sitting there beating on it, sucking out all the moisture, where our life is the same way. We have but so much moisture in our life. And then over time, that moisture starts to disappear and it disappears. And soon enough, that moisture is gone. If that moisture is not replaced by the life-giving moisture of Jesus Christ, can I tell you, we'll set a fire. Because that moisture that's not replaced, that means that person is lost and they're on the way to hell. And it does not take much Just like it doesn't take much to ignite that whole field of wheat, it doesn't take much for a lost person to end up in hell. For their life is hell by just a vapor, just a strand, just a day. And we don't know what a day may bring, the Bible tells us. It may be here today and gone tomorrow. Just like that wheat field, we don't know what's going to happen to it unless we watch it, unless we go out and we check it. The harvest is brown and ready to be harvested. And there is but one drop of vapor left in the wheat. And it may only take one more ray of sunlight to suck that last bit of moisture out of someone's life. And then they start to burn. They're out of moisture because nobody has given them any new moisture. They're out of moisture in their life because they don't know the living water that we have here in this church. They ran out of moisture because nobody brought them anything to replenish what they have lost. Nobody brought them anything known as Jesus Christ, the gospel, to replenish their dryness. You see, a Christian does not run dry. We have a living water inside of us. The Samaritan woman said inside the well, Jesus Christ said, I have the living water. People that are running dry don't have that living water. And because they are dry, they dry completely up. And then they burn. The second point tonight, I'd like to talk about the pump house. Ezekiel chapter 47 and 1 says, afterward he brought me again into the door of the house. And behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. From the front of the house stood towards the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house. And at the south side of the altar. Where I grew up, we lived off a well. And in the center of our yard, we had a pump house. The purpose of that pump house was to supply water to our house. It was literally just a building that housed the pump. Some of us here in New Mexico still use it. I know Brother Earl, Miss Rhonda has one. I know a lot of people out in the fields, they use pump houses to get water to the grain and to the fields to help things grow. If we turned the faucet on in the house and nothing came out, the first thing that we did was run to the pump house to see what was going wrong. The purpose of going to the pump house was to get the water flowing again. Our church and others like us are pump houses for the water of life. Just like the pump back home, it could be sitting on a well of water, the greatest water in all the world, but unless the pump is pumping, the water does no good. Can I tell you, this church is sitting on the greatest water that ever was created? Unless we're pumping, it does nobody no good. We have the living water of Jesus Christ. And it's our job to be the pump house for Clovis, New Mexico. It's our job to get pumping and get the waters coming out the doors of the east and out of the altars of the south so that we can water the grounds of Clovis, New Mexico with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For where there's no water, there's a dry harvest. There's no water. There's no green. But we supply that water. It's our job to be that pump house. Well, how do you get the water flowing if your pump's broken? Well, first of all, you got to unclog the supply line. A lot of times in our pump, it would get mud in it or get something caught up in it, so we had to unclog it. Can I tell you, no matter how hard you try, if your line is clogged up, you ain't going to get nothing through it. Everybody ever try to use a garden hose that's frozen over in the winter? It don't work, does it? Well, can I tell you that sin in your life clogs up the pump line? And no matter how hard you try to serve God, no matter how much you sing or how much you come to church or how much you give or teach Sunday school or drive a van or anything like that, if there's sin in your life, that line's clogged. You ain't going to be able to get the gospel out. You ain't going to be able to serve God because God doesn't use something that's clogged up. So the first thing we got to do in our pump house is get the lines unclogged. We got to remove all the sin that's stopping the flow of the gospel water. We got to get it flowing again. And the clogs could be sin of omission or sin of commission. It doesn't matter what kind of sin it is, for there's no greater sin than sin itself. You know, and sometimes, though, that old pump breaks down. Sometimes the parts just go bad in it. You know, it's continually running, continually working. The seals go bad and no longer sucks up water like it used to. Or maybe the bearing went out in and the pump just don't work like no more. Maybe you got to overhaul the motor or something. Throughout use, that pump breaks down. Can I tell you, there's old things in our lives that need to go. There's old things that we need to get rid of so that God can use us for His honor and for His glory. Yes, we are saved by grace and we are cleansed that time that we said, "Yes, Lord, come into our hearts." But oftentimes we fail and we go back to that old sin nature. God can't use them old parts. They're broken down. God can't use things that He doesn't want to use. We have to get rid of those old parts. We have to allow God to replace those old parts with new things. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, the Bible says. We have to get rid of all the broken things in our life that God doesn't want because it doesn't make the pump work. We have to allow God to come in and put in new pieces. Maybe that new piece is maybe a new part of the church. Maybe you need to take a new class. Maybe you need to read a new chapter in your Bible to help you out, a new devotional book or something like that. Maybe it's a new prayer time. Maybe you need to add something to your life so God can bless it. Maybe you need to go soul winning. Maybe that's something new for you that God wants to add to your life. Maybe you need to sing in the choir. Maybe God wants you to do that. It's something new that He can use for you. He replaces the old stuff that's worn and broken out that He can't do with things that He can use and build upon. We have to get rid of the old parts and allow God to put in new things into our lives. Allow God to put in a piece or two that's worthy for Him. Maybe God just wants you to try something. Maybe God wants you to step out on faith. Maybe God is asking you just to do simple things. Pass out a tract. Speak of somebody. Tell them about Him, about His glory, about what He's done in your life. Give your testimony. Maybe these are the new parts of your life that He needs to put in there so that He can use you. But you know, the pump's broken. They're broken down. It stops. And oftentimes it sits there. The water sucks down and you have to prime the pump. You have to pour a little water in there so it starts to get suction again. You have to start the pump back up. So in order to start the pump back up, you have to check the power. You can either check the power in the box or the fuses, or you check the power on the line. Can I tell you here in this church, we need to check the power of God. We need to make sure that we have an open line to our Father in heaven, that our prayers are getting answered, that we're not just speaking and things are getting hung up in the ceiling. We need to make sure that the power is coming down from on high. Because the power ain't coming down, we can't do nothing here in this church. We have to check the power. The power is inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And we know whether or not the Holy Spirit's moving inside of us. We know whether or not God is using us. We know whether or not the power of God is being used inside of us or not. Because those have been used. If you're not being used now, you feel different. And you know that God ain't using you. We have to check the power. The power comes from on high through us to be used for Him in this pump house. Then we got to prime the pump. Got to pour a little prayer into the pump. Get it moving. We got to pour our hearts out to God and ask Him for His help, asking for His guidance and His wisdom. Got to read His Word in order to get the prime going, get the pump going again. Because without His Word, we can't do anything. We can't accomplish one thing without His Word. Then we got to start believing who God is. We can read all day long. We can pray all day long. But until we convince our hearts and our mind that God is who God says He is, and He will answer our prayers, and He will see us through this, and He will help us along the way, that He will not forsake us as we have forsaken Him, we have to believe His promises. We have to believe His Word. And we have to be doers of His Word in order to get the pump going again. And to get the gospel waters flowing out of this church. We are a pump house sitting on the greatest water of life. But yet this water is not flowing because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Churches all the way across America and this world are sitting on the greatest gift ever getting, and they're not flowing it out to their communities because the pumps are broken. We've got to get the pump working again. Once we get the pump working again, we've got to get some buckets. The third thing is our buckets. Bucket Brigade. The Roman Emperor Augustus is credited with instituting the corps of firefighting vigils or watchmen. In 24 BC, regulations for checking and preventing fires were developed. In the pre-industrial era, most cities had watchmen who sounded alarm at signals of fire. The principal piece of the firefighting equipment in ancient Rome and in other modern times was a bucket, passed from hand to hand to deliver water. We could start the pump house. We could get everything, all the water's flowing out. The whole parking lot could be flooded. We could start taking buckets and filling it up with the gospel water and sitting around. We could have millions and millions of buckets sitting around this church. But you know what? It does no good unless we take it out to the community. It does no good unless we take it out and start watering the dry harvest fields of Clovis with the buckets. We got to get them out there. We have to pick up a bucket and take it out. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." The water is not to stay at the church. The water is not to stay at the pump house. The water has to be spread across the world to make things green. The waters of heavens, does it not flow from the throne of our Lord and Savior for all to drink that would? We have the only life-sustaining water in the universe, and we're keeping it. We have the antidote to the curse of sin, and we're not passing it out. In the bucket brigade, the buckets were passed from one person to the next. If it ever stopped, the fire would destroy what it touched. Can I tell you the day the bucket brigade of the gospel has stopped? We are no longer passing it from person to person like we used to. We're no longer sharing those buckets of life-saving water with everybody else. We've got that bucket in our hands, and we're holding on to it. That's why the fire is burning. That's why everything is dried out and brown in the world, because Christians are holding on to the buckets. And they're not passing it person to person like we're supposed to. They're not delivering that water to each individual that needs to take a drink. There's no reason for one person to go to hell if there's a church that's in the town that stands on the truth of God's Word. There's no reason for a person to go to hell that somebody next to him has got the gospel truth. There's no reason for somebody to go to hell in your workplace, and if you know the answer, and the way and the truth and the life. No one soul should not have an opportunity to drink of the buckets of this church. For we have the truth. The brigade on a fire would work and work. We've seen them with Western movies and everything when they take the bucket brigades and they start dipping the buckets out and they're passing them through and they're passing them through. And they do not stop. No matter how bad the building's on fire, no matter how much of the structure is gone, they keep throwing buckets day in and day out. They'd be wore out by the time they're done. Soot covered and everything. But they don't stop. No matter what's going on, they keep passing buckets as long as that flame is going. Why? Because they don't want the building next to them to burn. Can I tell you, you may not reach the first person you give the gospel to, but you don't stop because you might get that second one. You don't stop because you might get that third one. They didn't stop carrying buckets of water because they didn't want the whole town to burn down. We have to get the gospel out there. And it don't matter if the first one doesn't take the drink. It don't matter if the second one don't take a drink. Somebody's eventually going to take a drink of that bucket. And they can get in the brigade and start passing that bucket with you. We don't wear out. We don't quit passing the buckets. The fire is burning. You need to get it out there. They need the water. No matter how hard or how hot it got, they never stopped. No matter if they thought all was lost, the brigade kept handing water and handing water. If we were to line up around the wall or from here to there and we started passing buckets back and forth, it would be pretty easy with all of us doing it. But I took out four or five here or four or five there. It's going to start slowing down. It's not going to be as effective as it used to be. And then if I only let one or two people carry buckets between here and there, how much water are you going to get there? Very little. Can I tell you the bucket brigade needs every person? It needs all hands on deck. It needs every available Christian to get out there and start passing out the water of life in order to reach souls. One or two can get a couple things done. But can I tell you, a whole church that's passing out buckets can water the grounds of Clovis. We can water the grounds of the world. Because when you start to see things pop up, when you start to, as the Bible says, start to see new life and green things coming up out of the ground, and Christians are multiplying left and right, guess what? That's people added to the bucket brigade, and more water is passed out because more people are getting saved, and it's a continual thing. Just like if you don't put the fire out, it keeps burning. Well, guess what? You keep getting the gospel out. It's a continual thing. People keep getting saved. They keep joining the bucket brigade. More water is passed out. More people are saved. Do you see the trend here? We have to get the pump house going. We need to get the buckets of salvation into the Clovis area. We need to get busy. The fire is burning. People are going to hell every day of the week because we're not passing out the water of life. We have to get busy. The more water we get out there, the more things will start to grow and turn green. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water's course. We start pouring out enough of the gospel into this dry, godless town we live in. Things are going to start turning green. Things are going to start looking beautiful. Things are going to start growing for God. We need to pour so much of God out that hell has to build a dam to keep the water out of it. That's how much water needs to flow from this church. Bucket after bucket until the well runs dry. The well only runs dry when He calls us home. We're sitting on a well of life, but the pump has to work right. If the house is working right, then the brigade has to be in sync, working together, getting the water to the area. And a brigade is just not one person or two. It's the whole church committed to God to put out the fires of hell and to start turning things spiritually green again. The fire danger is high all across the world. People are catching fire in hell every minute of the day. We have the water to put it out. We have the water that changes life. It takes dry things and makes them moist. Can I tell you, moist things don't burn? As long as they're wet, they won't catch fire. As long as they have the living water of Jesus Christ in them, they'll never catch fire. We have that water. And we need to start watering them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Father God, we love You. Lord, we thank You. Lord, I thank You that 30 years ago I took a drink of that bucket. Lord, I thank You that 30 years ago You saved my soul, that I shall never burn. Lord, I pray, first of all, if there's one here, Lord, that is not saved, that know the truth of the Lord and Jesus Christ in their hearts, I pray that one tonight would be saved. But for us, Lord, that may be holding a bucket to ourselves and not giving anybody else a drink, help us, Father God, to start spreading that gospel water. Help this church, Lord, to become the pump house of the gospel water that we should be, Lord. That it shall flow from the east and from the altar of the south. And, Lord, that we should carry it out into the world to see brown things turn green again, to see souls saved. Lord, help us. Have Your way and Your will in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.